You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Inbound Connect, right baseline, challenge shot, swirls down somehow. Dalton Connect buries it for three. Tennessee somehow escapes 62-58, holding off Texas.
We've heard from coaches, we've heard from players, and now we hear from another young man who has been a great, great story in the NCAA tournament. If you know his background, boy, it's easy to feel good for this guy. He is Dalton Connect of the Tennessee Volunteers. They are headed to the Sweet 16, and he joins us right now, Carlin versus Joe. Dalton, it's Chris Carlin and Joe Fortenbaugh on ESPN Radio, and it's got to feel great to move on after this weekend into the Sweet 16. How has it been here the last 24 hours?
Oh, it's been great. We're we're really excited to go play on the Sweet 16 against a great Creighton team, so we're excited.
I got to go ahead and derail this real quick. If you guys go on a run, Dalton, and you win this whole thing, that would take place on a Monday. 5 days later, UFC 300 is in Las Vegas. We heard you're a big UFC guy. Could we see you in Las Vegas celebrating the big win with UFC 300?
Yes, sir. No doubt. I'll definitely be there. If we win it all, I'd like to go there and bring some of my friends and go celebrate with my teammates as well. Bring them out.
Is there a fight on that card specifically before we go back to basketball that really jumps out at you? Because that card, 299, was stacked. This one is stacked top to bottom all the way through the prelims. Is there a specific fighter you're interested in seeing?
I'd say Gaethje. He went to my old school and stuff, and it's going to be a good fight between him and Holloway. That's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, the BMF title. All right, we can get back to that. We can get behind that. Now back to the basketball, Carlin.
Well,
back to the basketball.
I'll follow it up with one more. When did you start getting interested in UFC, and how long have you kind of followed it? How intently have you kind of followed it?
Ever since, me and my dad used to watch it throughout high school and stuff. He would get the fights, and I'd watch it with him, and then, I'd get into the video games of UFC, and that just kind of stayed with me ever since I went off to college. I'd still watch it. I'd have a couple of my friends come over, and we'd watch it all together.
Nice. Absolutely. That's how you do it.
He is Dalton Connect of Tennessee. They're having a great run. Went from JUCO to Tennessee, immediately wins Player of the Year, and you are one of eight guys that has ever been a JUCO player, junior college player, that has gone on to be an All-American. What kind of a significance does that have for you?
Yeah, that's definitely something really special to me, because not too many people have done that, but also just shows, if you go to JUCO, you could still become one of those players that are, high, always been, a top 10 player in their class. It just shows if hard work could get you anywhere, really. So it's just definitely something real cool, and it's cool for Sterling, Colorado, because, they support me still from my time at NJC, so it's real special to me.
Take us through the mindset and how difficult, or perhaps for you guys, how easy this can be. I mean, you're coming off a very emotional weekend, two big wins. You advance to the next weekend. You're going to play in the Sweet 16. On one hand, you want to be able to enjoy some of that. But on the other hand, you got to turn your attention to Creighton and you got to get ready for the next round. How do you guys manage that balance?
Yeah, we know the Sweet 16 is going to be a lot of fun. And, some of these guys have played in it and some of us haven't. So, we're going to embrace it, but at the same time, we have bigger goals, and we know we got to get focused on a great Creighton team to, hopefully move on to the Elite Eight, and we're going to be super locked in and ready to go.
He is Dalton Connect of the Tennessee Volunteers. They have got they are the number 2 seed in the Midwest. They have got Creighton, the number 3 seed in Detroit on Friday. When you get through that first weekend, is it kind of like a big sigh of relief? Just kind of take me through what the team is feeling after making it to the Sweet 16 when you have been as highly touted as you have.
Yeah, we you know, obviously we're super excited that we made it out of the first round. Or the first weekend, but when we all got together, one of our goals is to win it all. And, you know, it's it was kind of like we all expected it to happen, but we knew it was going to be a lot of hard work. But now we, you know, we got the second weekend coming, and, you know, we just got to focus on Creighton first and then the winner of the next game, and we'll be ready.
You know, throughout the course of the weekend, you guys are obviously focused on the 2 games you're playing, but did you have any downtime where you could watch some of the other games that were taking place? And if so, any players or any games jump off the page of you?
Yeah, we watched quite a bit of games. You know, we watched, obviously, all the SEC teams play, the Auburn game and stuff. We watched that right after our shoot-around. And we watched a little bit of Michigan State and North Carolina before we went off to the arena. So, no, we've been trying to watch it as much, but it's kind of been kind of hard just because of practice and shoot-arounds.
Being an SEC team yourself, did you enjoy the fact that Auburn went down in flames?
I'm not too sure. You know, it's just March. It's crazy. Madness is everywhere. It just, you never know what to expect. Every team is good and deserves to be in this tournament for a reason. So they're just going out there showcasing why they deserve to play another game and keep competing.
See, Carlin, right there, that's a professional, polished answer.
Yeah.
Laid a trap, gave you an opportunity, Dalton, to talk a little trash about Auburn, but you sidestepped me there. Very savvy on your behalf.
Yeah.
Well done.
Appreciate it.
Dalton Connect of Tennessee is with us. Who do you enjoy watching play of other players? Because so many people love watching you play. I'm curious as to who Dalton Connect loves to watch play.
In college or
in college or pro, either
both.
One.
Love it all.
Yeah, I mean, I love it all. It's kind of hard to, you know, choose a favorite college player because maybe I'll be playing against them. So, you know, pros is obviously KD. I love watching his game all the time. So I really try to watch as much highlights as I can of him before I, like, go out and work out or something or before a game.
Going back to that transition you made coming from Northern Colorado to Tennessee, how big of a jump was that when you first took the court with the Volunteers? Did you look around for a second and think, man, this is moving quick, this is a big step up, or did you kind of coast into that naturally?
I kind of just went naturally. I mean, I had, you know, when I first got here, my teammates were here, we would work out together, and, you know, they were super welcoming when I got here and just let me play my game. Ever since I got here, we were just playing pickup. They was like, if I passed up an open shot to another teammate, they would be mad, like, yo, shoot the ball. Like, we brought you here to go out and play like you, and we're going to follow that. So they've been super welcoming, and obviously the coaching staff, they told me how it was going to be. And, you know, RC, he was a big guy that got me here was because he was JUCO and stuff, and he kind of told me how it is, and it was – he was real straight up from the jump that it'll be a smooth transition here.
Have you ever thought about getting into the octagon yourself? And if so, who do you want a piece of?
If I had a piece up, it'd probably have to be my roommate, Joe, that came out from Colorado with me. Just because, you know, we'd be watching it, and he know he'd be talking a little smack every once in a while.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Dalton, awesome stuff. Congratulations. Looking forward to you here in the next round, and we appreciate a few minutes.
Thanks, Dalton.
Yes, sir, of course. Thanks for having me.
That's Dalton Connect of Tennessee. He's an All-American and, you know, a guy that comes out of JUCO. And you, I wonder, like, I don't know if you watched any of the Netflix series that was around, like, junior college play.
I did not.
It was called Last Chance U, and they did it on football primarily, and then they did a couple on basketball. And when you see what the challenges are for junior college players and the lack of facilities and the lack of everything, to come out of that and end up at a place like Tennessee with the kind of talent that he has had, it's a great story, and from all accounts, he's a great kid.
Well, your boy Mad Dog loves Tennessee to win this whole thing, and he's the reason why. I didn't want to bring that up and be like, hey, you got the Mad Dog endorsement, because it might be like, you know, all right, let's take it easy with that. Not sure I want that endorsement. Who knows? But
yeah,
he's got the Mad Dog endorsement.
He might also be like, who? And the Mad Dog endorsement has many times been the kiss of death.
Oh.
Many, many times. I have witnessed that up close and personal.
Is there one specific that jumps out to you where you just think to yourself, he was all over it and it was a complete disaster?
Because
we've
God.
All been there, and this is not to knock dog, all big fans.
Yes.
But, you know, we've all been there before, but if we have an opportunity to dust him here a little bit, let's dust him.
It would absolutely be the 03 Yankees getting to the World Series. He was just hammering them up and down. And he hated the Yankees to begin with. He was always crushing the Yankees. But 03 specifically in the Aaron Boone home run, it was coupled with a horrible San Francisco Giants loss to the Marlins in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if you go online, you can see one of the all-time dog great rants. It is that year. I thought it was like the Grinch when you see the heart just really shrink all the way down in the chest of somebody. Like, I've never seen somebody's spirit broken in their face the way I saw it that day. Absolutely true. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Now, it was a year ago that Lamar Jackson demanded a trade on social media during the NFL owners' meetings. Now, another star player making headlines for a similar post. It's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Lots of news coming out of the NFL owners' meetings. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. My friends from Superchargers, Exhaust Kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive. ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Joseph, we had a lot of discussions recently over Brandon Ayuk and what his future could look like in San Francisco, and whether or not the 49ers are going to be able to pay him. And if not, could they trade him away to a team like Pittsburgh? Well, John Lynch, the 49ers GM, was asked about the latest with the discussions with Brandon Ayuk at the GM or at the owners meetings today down in Orlando.
I was just with Mike Tomlin and at the Michigan Pro Day, and Mike coached me, and so we're very close, and he's like, bro, what's going on? Like, I promise you, we got nothing. And nothing's going on there. We're actively talking with Brandon, trying to figure something out. And, you know, I always talk, we have a good history of working with the guys we want to get done to get something done. And it takes two sides. So can we do that? We'll see. There's a number of different directions, you know, that it could go, but we appreciate the heck out of Brandon and who he is as a player. And we want him to be a part of the Niners. So we're going to work towards making that a reality.
Okay. So Joseph, Brandon Ayuk has responded, and he has done so through the use of emojis.
Ah, yes.
It is singularly an emoji message in response. So I will ask you to translate.
Okay.
Dollar sign, man talking, bull, and then you know what follows bull blank, followed by a man walking.
Mm.
Your thoughts?
This is going to be a problem for the Niners because you already have a top 10 wide receiver in terms of contract value in Deebo Samuel. Can you possibly be a team that has two wide receivers in the top 10 in terms of salary cap space or in terms of average contract value, whatever it may be? Tyreek Hill is averaging $30 million per year. He's number one. Devontae Adams, number two at $28 million. Deebo's seventh. $23.8 million is what Deebo Samuel costs. I understand Brock Purdy's cheap, but you have a lot you need to figure out if you're the Niners moving forward. Trent Williams is one of the best offensive tackles in the NFL. Your offensive line outside of Williams, highly suspect. His salary cap number this year, $31.5 million. Debo's $28.6 million from a salary cap perspective this year. Charvarius Ward is $18 million. Nick Bosa is $14.6 million. Things to keep in mind. Ward's going to be up, I believe, after this season. What are you going to do with your top corner? George Kittle, I think, is coming up in a couple years. Christian McCaffrey's coming up in a couple years. Again, you have to shore up the offensive line. There are a lot of issues the Niners have to work on here. And Brandon Ayuk is going to command a monster deal. He's coming off his fourth year in the NFL. He put up career numbers, 75 receptions, over 1,300 receiving yards. Justin Jefferson is headed for $30 million plus per year. And if you're the Niners and you let that deal happen, how are you going to sign Ayuk? Oh, yeah, take $8 million less. It's not going to work. My projection would be that he is not going to be a member of the Niners because they can try to strong arm him and say, well, you're entering the fifth year. We've got you. And if you don't want to play, tough. You won't make any money. But that's not how you treat guys. There are certain guys that you can strong arm, and then there are certain guys that you need to reward because they have done everything you have asked. He is a guy you need to reward. And I don't think the Niners have the money to do it.
I don't think they do either. I think they're going to be best served trading him away. Listen, when you get to this position, after a few years of great success, you have decisions to make on who you can keep and who you can't. And they, in essence, made that decision, Joe, when they paid Deebo. There was very clear at that point that they were not going to be able to pay Ayuk at the same time. So to me, they're going to trade him away eventually here. What would bother me about it, though, is what happened this past weekend. The move that the Titans made to get L'Jarius Sneed, we understand that Sneed had to get a new contract, right? Did you see what they got in return?
Wasn't much.
The Chiefs got a 2025 third-round pick in addition to a 2024 seventh-round pick swap. That ain't much.
No,
For what is a great player. And yet, you are right in your doubts earlier in the show about Tennessee trading for him and then paying him off of what was a career year. It wouldn't be my biggest concern there, not to completely turn it. My bigger concern is I think Steve Spagnuolo knew exactly how to use him outside of just being a pure cover corner and made him a much more valuable player. Is somebody else going to be able to do the same thing and get the most out of him? Point is, if you're trading away Brandon Ayuk, are you putting him in a situation where you're going to get the most out of him? And what, honestly, are the 49ers going to be getting in return? They're not going to have a choice.
They're not going to get much because of the contract. This isn't a baseball deal that's going down at the deadline where you're going to pick up a guy in late July as a rental and then let him go to free agency. Ayuk's not going to come over in exchange for two first-round picks, and then you're not going to give him the contract. That would be foolishness. Why would you invest two first-round picks in a rental? At the same time, why would you invest two first-round picks and then have to pay the guy $28 million a year or so? It's not going to work that way. You might be able to pay him, but you can't pay the Niners a big ransom in order to get him over. Take a look at the offseason so far. Decisions teams have had to make. Legarius Sneed, as you just mentioned. Chiefs couldn't afford him. He's gone for a third-round pick. One of the best corners in the NFL, gone for a third-round pick.
Next year.
Keenan Allen was gone for a fourth-round pick. The Chargers gave up one of the greatest receivers in franchise history for a fourth-round pick. Mike Williams, they just outright cut him. Kirk Cousins, he just walked in free agency. If you go to the Buffalo Bills, Mitch Morse, a captain, starting center. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, they were all cut. Xavien Howard, a cornerback in Miami, cut. Justin Simmons, stud defensive lineman, cut. Teams have to make tough decisions, especially teams with good rosters with high-priced talent. You can't pay McCaffrey and Trent Williams and Debo and George Kittle and Fred Warner and Charvarius Ward and expect to be able to sign everybody else. That is why you needed to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That is why you needed to give them the ball first in overtime. You can't miss in the margins in opportunities like that because they're not going to keep coming around. I said at the beginning of the offseason, I'll say it again. I think the window has shut on the 49ers. People will say I'm crazy, but it's slowly but surely going to get worse from here from a financial perspective. That's what ends up happening. You can reboot things rather quickly, but there will be a lull coming at some point. They missed their window, in my opinion.
Listen, I completely understand it. I still think the window is slightly open, but they're going to have to do it with a bit of a different cast.
Yeah, and by the way, the NFC is going to be tougher this year than it was last year. Like, that was a great year for them to coast through the NFC. The Eagles were down. The Cowboys were down. If you had said at the beginning of the season, your biggest threat in the NFC is going to be the Detroit Lions and you're going to get them at home, you rejoice at that path to the Super Bowl. And you got there and you couldn't close. You couldn't close again. It's the Chiefs. It happens, but you can't expect to keep showing up. You can't have the path laid for you. At some point, you got to walk through and smash yourself through that door and take what you believe is yours. You haven't been able to close. It's tough. Many teams can against the Chiefs, but I don't think you're getting another crack at that one.
Tonight could be the end of a historic era. We're going to tell you what it is. In moments. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Trying to pick up the energy. Clark gets the steal. And Caitlin with the lay-in. 23 now for Clark.
She is the story of everything in college basketball right now. Caitlin Clark. And it's funny. that Holly Rowe is covering her. She has for quite some time. What I mean by funny is Holly, she joins us right now, and she will be there for Iowa tonight. But I first got to start here with a funny video that I saw you put out the other day, Holly. And it was a brief little interview with Maureen McGarrity and her two daughters. Maureen McGarrity is the head coach at Holy Cross, and they were playing Iowa on Saturday. And her two daughters are massive Caitlin Clark fans, and their mother is playing against Caitlin Clark there. So the two kids are sitting on the bench marveling at watching Caitlin Clark warm up. And Holly, you asked them if they're going to be rooting for their mother. They're wearing all purple for Holy Cross. That looked like a hostage tape with those two kids having to sit there and watch Caitlin Clark warm up. And at the same time, we got to stay here and root for mom.
Yeah, it was so cute because her 11-year-old daughter, Charlotte, is a basketball player. She actually stood up next to me, and she's about 7 inches taller than me. She's going to be a good little player, and she's been watching Caitlin Clark all season long. And her mom said, I think I could actually have Charlotte do the scout. She's so familiar with Caitlin's game. And I'm sorry, the music just started. I'm actually here at Iowa Shootaround. I'm watching Caitlin and her teammates shoot right this second. They just turned the music up. But it was such a cute story, and I just teased them. I'm like, do you have your Caitlin Clark t-shirts on under your Holy Cross stuff? And mom's like, no, we checked. They are Holy Cross head to toe. So it was a cute story. And she was actually, those little girls were freaking out. One of them actually started crying when they saw Caitlin come out and shoot right, like 5 feet away from them. So I haven't been able to find out yet if they actually got to meet her, get a picture with her or anything. But it was just a cute story. And it just kind of speaks to how people have gotten obsessed with Caitlin. I know there's some people that think ESPN or other people are pushing this narrative. And I promise you, it's not that. It is. People are so intrigued with her and such big fans of her. We're kind of following the story. It's not us making this. This is fans around the country just really buying in and being obsessed with this young lady.
All right, so here we go. Final home game for Caitlin Clark is tonight. Number one Hawkeyes, number 8 West Virginia Mountaineers, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Set the stage for us. Set the scene at Iowa. What's it like right now in the buildup to this game?
Yeah, it's going to be chaos. It's sold out. You know, it's a Monday night in Iowa City, and people are coming from all over to come and see this final time. And, you know, Caitlin Clark obviously is the big story, but there's four other seniors on this team, Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, Sharon Goodman, and Molly Davis. They have all been part of the two winningest seasons in Iowa basketball history. So they've got a lot of pressure riding on their shoulders tonight, everybody. And we asked Kate Martin and Caitlin Clark yesterday, are you worried about the emotion and is it going to be sad the last time? And Caitlin said, no, we cannot let the emotion and the nostalgia drive us tomorrow night or, for tonight. She said, we have to be businesslike. We can be emotional and feel all those feelings later, but the game is the most important thing. And they're going to be in for a tough time. West Virginia just practiced a few minutes ago, and it was upbeat and energetic. And they are a team that presses three different ways, full court press, trapping. They forced 21 turnovers in their last game. It's going to be a hard fought game for Iowa tonight. I mean, this is going to be a challenge.
Holly Rowe is with us, of course, ESPN college basketball reporter and reporter, just absolutely masterful in what she does. And she's following Caitlin Clark throughout the tournament. I'm wondering about the other team in these spots. Like you just mentioned West Virginia and their energy, but how these other teams handle the circus that has kind of come with this, and circus isn't the right word, but all the hullabaloo that has come with this and maybe feeling as if they are not getting the attention that maybe they deserve.
You know, it's interesting. I think circus is the perfect word. I've been on the road with Caitlin at Nebraska, at Minnesota, at different games, and it is a circus. It feels like what it must be like to be Taylor Swift. Like, she gets off the bus and there's hundreds of people there screaming her name, trying to get pictures and autographs. It's chaos. But I can tell you that the teams that she plays against, they like it because it's drawing more eyes on them. I'm talking a little quiet because there's starting to be some stuff that shoot on here. So if I talk quiet, that's why. But the opposing players, like, the spotlight is now shining on them. If they have a good game, people are getting to know them and their name and their game. So I don't think it doesn't feel like there's a ton of jealousy or resentment, because I feel like people appreciate her enough as a baller that they're like, no, she's really, really good. And this spotlight shines on all of us.
Iowa looked great in their debut on Saturday, taking out Holy Cross. Interesting game for Caitlin Clark. She played very well. Minutes were somewhat limited because it was a blowout, but it seemed like she had some issues at times with the officiating. She was talking to her dad about some of that at times. He was sitting courtside. You know, you were there on the scene. What did you think of that game?
Well, I would say Iowa did not play particularly well in the first half. I thought Holy Cross really brought it at them and were very physical. They forced Caitlin Clark into 5 turnovers in the first quarter. And I would say that's a bit, as I've seen Caitlin play in a long time. You know, they had been off for 2.5 weeks, and I thought some of that showed. But they settled down at halftime. Caitlin got her shot going. She did not have a turnover in the second half after 6 first-half turnovers. So, you know, she got it together. But she was definitely frustrated. And it's interesting, you know, I see a ton of stuff on social media and people criticizing her behavior. And I'm just like, did we ever criticize, maybe you guys can correct me. Did we criticize Kobe when he yelled at the refs or Michael Jordan for being competitive?
Like, great call.
I'm just kind of over everybody. You know, Cameron Brink is getting a lot of criticism today from Stanford for something she may or may not have said to the ref on her way out of the game last night. Listen, I think that we over-police what women do and say in basketball, and I love Caitlin's fire. Like, she's going to knock you down to get where she wants to go, and I love it, and I'm here for it. So I hope people can get over the, oh, my gosh, but she's not nice on the court. She's not a good, you know, like, let's get over that. Because Kobe wasn't nice, neither was MJ, and nobody cared.
Holly Rowe with us, ESPN reporter. And yeah, doesn't matter who you are, if you're a competitor like that, you're going to get frustrated in those spots and let people know about it for sure. Holly, I want to shift gears for a moment. And over the weekend, we saw Kim Mulkey kind of steal the headlines a little bit. Story, of course, there is apparently a story that has been 2 years in the works coming out about Kim Mulkey in the Washington Post. She looked like she was trying to get out ahead of it, threatening lawsuits if anything untruthful was written about her. The newspaper has sent her questions to answer after she had refused numerous attempts at an interview. What is your read on this entire situation, especially with some very strong comments by Mulkey the other day?
Yeah, Kim Mulkey is a complex and fascinating human being, and I do not agree with everything she does or say, but I respect Kim Mulkey because she wins and she's good at everything she's ever done. I mean, she was the high school valedictorian. She's been an Olympian. She wins everywhere she goes. So I might not agree with her, but I'll tell you this. I had a disagreement with her on how she was handling Brittany Griner's situation when Brittany was detained in Russia. So you know what I did? Instead of write an article or a hit piece or kill her, I went and sat with Kim for 2.5 hours, and we hashed it out to talk about how she was handling things and why, and why did she react in certain ways. I think that any writer has an obligation to really try to get to know her and see what she's talking about, because she has reasons, and she's going to tell you the reasons. And I think any piece that is not where you sat down and really tried to understand her is a disservice. And I guess my other frustration a little bit is, I mean, I'm still waiting for the hit pieces on all these men that were cheating in the FBI probe. Like, where's that hit piece? You know, like, I just have a problem with the Washington Post trying to take down powerful women in women's basketball. Like, what are we doing? We never write negative stuff about the male coaches. I'm like, come on now.
Listen, I get it. I guess the only thing I would say, and not to rebut it on that part, but on the first part, is that if she had turned down those opportunities to interview, as is reported, I mean, I don't know where that discussion would be if she chose not to speak to them.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of what's happened or what that reporter has tried
to do. Nor do I. Yeah,
but I will tell you this. I know a lot of her former players have reached out to her and said, he's contacted us and here's what he's writing about. So he's kind of come in with an agenda. And I don't know, you talk about your guys yourself. Someone wanted to write an article with you and you knew they were coming in with a certain agenda. Would you want to sit down with them? Mm. You know, like,
yeah.
If the writer's coming in without an agenda and just wants to get to know you, ask you questions about how you view things, that's a little different. But agenda, I don't know. I don't know how you view that, but that might be different.
Got it. Well, listen, Caitlin's going to be very interesting to watch tonight, and we'll get a chance to see her against West Virginia. As you said, it should be a pretty good matchup. Holly, we appreciate it, as always.
Thank you so much. I'm sitting here watching Caitlin right now run through shoot around. She looked calm, confident, and they look like they're ready to rock.
Beautiful.
ESPN reporter, that game on ESPN tonight, 8 p.m., the number one Hawkeyes against number eight West Virginia. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. One NFL team outside the top three in the draft has been given the green light to go get a quarterback. Should they do it? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
How these other teams handle the circus that has kind of come with this, and circus isn't the right word, but all the hullabaloo that has come with this.
You know, it's interesting. I think circus is the perfect word.
Here's the bigger issue. How do I go from circus and saying that's not the right word to hullabaloo?
Yeah.
As if it was 1946.
We're going to let it slide, but the idea of you bringing it up means it's now open for all of us to discuss again. It's like, all right, I use circus. That's not right. I got to do better. Hullabaloo. Your brain went to hullabaloo, where most people would be thinking, don't even know what that is.
Yeah. And Holly's like, no, circus is right.
Yeah. She's like, you had it right the first time.
Yeah.
Just get out of the way. I'll give you an answer. Just get out of the way, Junior.
Let me let the pros do the work. That's what that was.
You didn't want to go with brouhaha.
Mike Tomlin.
Didn't want to go kerfuffle.
Mike Tomlin, he's very cool. No. He's the cat's pajamas. That's what it is.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I love this from John Mara. God bless John Mara, the Giants owner. A couple of things that he put out there today at the owners' meetings down in Orlando. This first part comes from Jordan Renan, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Quote, if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll fall in love with the quarterback and believe it's worth pick number six or moving up, I certainly would support that. End quote. And that, you would think, would mean the end of Daniel Jones. And he says, no, that doesn't mean it for Daniel Jones. He'll compete. No, that means it's over for Daniel Jones. And if the Giants are going to move up from 6-4 to get J.J. McCarthy, and they are in love with him, I'll tell you, that to me just speaks to Brian Daboll kind of trying to push the agenda of Jones ain't it. And I need a little bit more to work with here, and I need to get my own guy in here.
Yeah, that's what you would think is going on in New York. They missed. They missed. They missed originally on Daniel Jones, and then they compounded the issue by buying into one season of Jones with another coach thinking this guy figured it out. The original evaluation was wrong. As a result, they let that mistake turn into a second and third mistake, and now they're trying to clean that up. good, because at some point it's got to get cleaned up. He's not the guy. A lot of people can come out and say, well, you know, you got to give him more time. You got to build around him. There are guys that have done more in worse situations. Like, at some point, after how many years, you have to step up. You have to make plays. You have to lead the team. You have to figure out how to stay healthy. And he just hasn't really done any of that. They had one fluky year that everyone bought into, but there were plenty of underlying analytics that pointed to the fact that that was a fluky year and they were going to regress. And regress they did last season. So now it's about moving forward. Jones is not the guy. Maybe he can rekindle his career somewhere else, but it's not going to happen in New York. So if you're the Giants, you got to figure out what the next step is. Three's apparently up for grabs. Washington's taking calls at two, although I doubt they'd be willing to deal with a team like the Giants. If you like Drake May or whatever it may be, go up and get the guy. Get this thing moving. Because if you don't and you stumble through this year, you're probably moving on from Daboll and you're blowing most of this thing up. And that's the last thing you want. So if you're Mara, this is a big year for your franchise in terms of whether or not you actually have the head coach. You know you don't have the quarterback right now. You got to figure out if you have the right head coach.
Yeah, let's just, everybody needs to get past the idea that you might have the guy. No, it's been enough time. You don't have the guy. Daniel Jones is not the guy. So move on. You made the mistake of paying him last year, but at the very least, you can get out after this year. Now, we had also heard that Brian Daboll is not exactly the most well-liked in the Giants building because he can be pretty tough on people, and we have seen him on the sideline be pretty tough on players and go nuts in particular spots. So he was asked about that. This is from Daryl Slater of NJ.com. Quote, "There are times where I wish he would tone it down a little bit. But I'm also in the team meetings, and I see how he acts around his coaches in the office, and he always maintains his cool there. Does he get excitable during games sometimes? Yeah, so do I. But I don't think that's a major issue. I don't think it affects the culture we have in the building at all. I still very firmly believe that Brian is the right guy for us moving forward. I want him to be himself at the end of the day. If I get to the point where I think he's acting irrationally and it's affecting his performance, I would certainly have a word with him. I have not seen that. Certainly last season was a huge disappointment to me, especially coming off a playoff year, but I still believe we're headed in the right direction. Obviously, we start winning games. Not everyone is going to buy into that, but I happen to believe it." Back to your original point here. The idea that last year, rather two seasons ago, was an aberration. This happens with organizations sometimes. They get fooled. You come in, you have a new coach, you have a new GM, and they walk in the door and they understand what they're looking at. And I think Joe Shane probably walked into the door with the Giants and thought, okay, this is, we're going to, once we get past this season with contractual issues, we're going to head toward a rebuild here because that's what's going to be best. And then what do you know? They win the games that they do and they go on the road and they win a playoff game. And Joe, they change course, and that's a mistake. And that's where they have been completely done in. You pointed to the analytics earlier. The Giants have gotten too caught up in winning the games that they did, especially winning the playoff game two seasons ago.
There are several traits that really good franchises, I'm going to use the word franchises, not teams, because franchise encompasses everybody. There are certain traits that really good franchises have in common. And one of those traits is they don't talk a lot. Like if you go to Kansas City, you don't hear a whole lot on a regular basis from ownership, front office, head coach, like that triumvirate. Like, do you hear a lot from Clark Hunt? Do you hear a lot from Andy Reid? Like, they might speak, but they don't give you a whole lot.
When was the last time Andy Reid made a headline with a comment?
There you go. Go to San Francisco. I know John Lynch was talking today about Brandon Ayuk, and that's a story worth following. But over the last few years, Lynch, Shanahan, it's relatively simple boilerplate stuff. They're not giving you a whole lot. You don't hear much from Jed York either. He learned his lesson from back in the day when he was a young owner. He's gotten to be a better owner. Pittsburgh, similar, right? The Giants, like, look at all of this. Look at all of this talk coming from Mara and all this stuff he's addressing. When Woody Johnson talks and when the Jets talk, there's too much. Good organizations have a unified message. They understand that they're all rowing in the same direction. They batten down the hatches. They don't say much, especially about one another outside of compliments and praise, and they move on. They don't feed the media much. But here's Mara talking about, at times I wish Daboll would tone it down. That's interesting to say. Why would you even give the media that to glob onto? If he's your guy, whether you are fully behind him or you're a little worried about this season or not, don't say that. Just fully endorse him. Don't give anyone anything. Create the illusion that it is a unified front and everyone is rowing in the same direction. And then we go a little bit further down in the quote to where it says, let me try to find this. I still firmly believe that Brian is the right guy for us going forward. Oh, was that actually in question? Because yeah. It's not in question in San Francisco because York's not going to say that about Shanahan. It's not in question in Kansas City. It's not in question in Pittsburgh. It's not in question in Baltimore. How often do you hear Baltimore's owner, general manager, or head coach say anything? Very rarely. It's just a unified message. They praise each other, they give the media very little, and they move forward. Here's Mara addressing all this stuff and just opening up a can of worms. That is not a unified organization. That is a problem. That is a big problem for the Giants as they get set to embark on the 2024 draft.
Here's what's even more befuddling about it. They never used to be this team. They never used to be talking like this.
No, they were before. One of the crown jewels back in the day.
I believe, even under John Mara, and I believe that a lot of it has just come from the frustration of losing and having to continue to establish some sort of consistency. The Giants are a crown jewel franchise. They just need to get back to conducting business like this.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.